Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta have land, gotta have
acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, 10-7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
Free the land, free the land, free the land. Thank you one and all for being here for another edition of the Republic of New Africa's radio show. I am your host, Kayleigh, Minister of the Interior for the Provisional Government, and also District Rep for Ida B. Wells. Thank you all for being here for another edition. Tonight's show will center around one of our great ancestors, who just so happens to have been born in this month, as well as transitioned in this month. No one other than our brother El Hajj El Malik Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. Tonight, we will hear perspectives about our brother Malcolm X from my comrade and brother-in-arms, Minister Bomani Shakur. This session tonight will be all about gaining more understanding about our fallen brother and comrade, our shining light, and our shining prince. So, without further ado, just to give a little bit more information about the brother, who actually transitioned in this month, but he was actually born in May. He was born as Malcolm Little in Omaha, Nebraska, May 19th, 1925, when our brother was born. His parents identified themselves as Garveyites and were members of the Universal Negro Improvement Association, African Community Leagues, the UNIA, ACL. Louise Little, his mother, was from Grenada and supported Garvey there. His father, Reverend Earl Little, was president of the UNIA ACL, and his mother was a secretary. Malcolm X joined the Nation of Islam while in prison. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him the position of national spokesman and built up temples around the nation. Malcolm X himself resigned from the Nation of Islam in 1964. He also, in his lifetime, founded two organizations, the Organization of Afro-American Unity, the OAAU, and the Muslim Mosque Incorporated. After tireless work throughout his life, our brother was cut short and assassinated February the 21st, 1965. You can read about these and other facts along with Malcolm X wherever you may get your information. And with that being said, I'd like to bring on my comrade and our speaker for the evening, Comrade Minister Bomani Shakur. Free the land, brother.
By the means necessary, brother. I actually appreciate them facts you just found on regard to Malcolm X, man. You know, that's a legacy, you know, and it's a legacy that reminiscence of what we termed a Malcolm X document in regards to self-determination, self-defense, nationhood, internationalism, you know, and this is being commemorated on this week, which is February 21st, which commemorated February 21st, 2024, which had been 59 years since the assassination, right? And again, it's always a pleasure to come on there, broadcast, share information, share thoughts, and inspire others to move forward and be progressing in their life, right? You know, I'm ready to get the show on, you know. And I appreciate you, brother, and all your efforts in regard to educating the people and propagating the vision of Pilgrim to Africa. I yield.
Indeed. Thank you for that. Always
yes,
a pleasure as well to be able to pick your brain, so to speak, about things as they relate to us as new Africans and going forward. Another thing of this note is to understand that because of the enormous impact that our Shining Prince has had on us as new Africans, our actual calendar for new Africans starts and begins not at January 1st for Americans, but on his actual day that he transitioned, which is February 21st. So that is our New Year. So we actually had our New Year's yesterday. So now it is 59 ADM, which stands for After the Death of Malcolm. And for those new Africans that know, that is what that stands for. So getting right into the show for tonight, let's start it off. So, brother, if you would, can you give us just a little bit of information about yourself and what brought you to where you are within the New African Independence Movement and aligning yourself with the provisional government to even be a host on our show for tonight?
Okay. Yes, sir. I wanted to correct one thing you said, you know. After the death of Malcolm X was created by Ram. And it was created not 1965, 1966. So it actually 58 ADM after the death of Malcolm X. Because Malcolm X also, during his travel, the international spokesperson for RAND, international spokesman for RAND. That's why he was in Africa talking to different African countries and related to the different African aspects in regard to new African plight of people, right? But a little bit about me, right? You know, I actually became conscious at that time in 1997, right? I became conscious behind enemy lines, you know what I'm saying? But during that time being conscious, in the following year, 1998, in February, which is what you want to say Black History Month, which is right now, I read the autobiography from Malcolm X. And once I read that book, it inspired me and motivated me to change my mind state, to educate myself. I wanted to be like Malcolm X. So I embarked on a journey of reading all the books that Malcolm X described and all about Malcolm X. I embarked on reading the dictionary and reading all these books and just studying everything I get my hands on, right, to further my education. I first heard about the New African Independent Movement in 1997 when I read Monster, Autobiography of Sanji Secure, Autobiography of Monster Coda, a.k.a. Sanji Secure. When he mentioned Virginia Pope in Africa, he also talked about him being a citizen. But it didn't resonate with me until later on in the late 90s, like 99, when I came across material from brothers in the California prison system that were out there in the shoe. I ran for material across brothers from Abdul Lugaba, Shakir, Matopa, Deguma, and other individuals that are new African political prisoners currently right now. And also Abdul Lugaba, Shakir, find at Georgia University that I actually became a part of as well. And I actually became a citizen, declared my citizen in 2002. But it wasn't until 2010 that I actually got involved in regards to government work. I got involved with the Minister of Youth. I got involved with communicating with the PC chair, other individuals in the government that when I got involved. As a deputy minister of youth, it wasn't until 2015 I became the minister of information for the first time, and I've been holding that position for the last 9 years since 2015, right? Which I'm very esteemed to hold, and which is a very beautiful position because it's accommodate a lot of my skill set in regard to gathering information and propagating and communicating, talking to people and educating people, right? So my whole aspect has always been that I understood that we must have set determination. I understood that we must control and operate our community we exist in. I understood that we got control of the politics in our area, like Malcolm X said. When we talking about black nationalism, we talking about the politics, we talking about the economy, we talking about the social environment, we talking about everything that pertains to our life, be it militarily, be it socially, be it culturally, be it politically, be it educationally, be it economically, right? All those points and light that Malcolm X talked about as a controlling, right? He was an example of that. But the most example that he showed me from the jump is that a person can change his or her mind state through education. Now, what he termed homemade education, they can change his or her mind state, right? And that had always been encouraging to me to want to transfer my criminal mentality to a real mentality, like Conrad George say, to push forward. So that led me to the vision of Africa. It led me to the aspect of realizing that my plight in life, that my goal in life is to be independent and not be up in the jurisdiction of the empire or American control. So that's who I am.
All right, I can dig it. And thank you for the insight about when the designation of having our new year begin with the death of Brother Malcolm, when it actually started. I always get that jumbled up from the time he's been deceased, from the time when it started. So thank you for sharing that information.
No doubt.
Right along with the episode, let's just jump into it. So let us embark upon the journey of understanding just a little bit more about our shining prince, Brother Malcolm. So,
yes, sir.
First off, can you explain the relation between Malcolm X and what we know as the Black Liberation Movement?
Okay. Yes, sir. You know, when we look at the Black Liberation Movement, right, we look at various organizations. Like at the beginning of 1960, you had the founder organization called SNCC, which is Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. At that time, SNCC was a student organization. It wasn't necessarily into the Black Liberation aspect of things, right? It was just a student organization. It wasn't until the founding of RAM in 1962 that the Black Liberation Act came off the hand, because RAM, Revolution Action Movement, they actually started reform action movement. They used that term to basically disguise their aim and goals at that time so people can be involved with it, because they knew to understand a revolutionary being a term that they considered to be anti, they considered a term to be intimidating and oppressing to the people, right? So they first began a reform action movement. Then it turned to revolution action movement the following year, right? And RAM basically kicked out what you want to term the Black Liberation Movement. And they actually influenced SNCC, which is Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, to become revolutionaries and begin into that garden movement, because they were nationalism. Then when they eventually changed their name to, in 1966, to the Student National Coordinating Committee. And they also started calling the term Black Power, with the coin by Stuart Carmack and the Mikasa Ricks in 1966, which started the Black Power movement. Now, the brother Malcolm X, during the 50s, he was organizing a lot of the Nation of Islam temples around the masses, from the bigger temple which was in New York, Temple Number 7. Temple Number 7 was so big that he split it up to different divisions: Temple Number 7A, Temple Number 7B, Temple Number 7C, D, and so forth and so on. It was all through Harlem, Staten Island, Brooklyn, Bronx, and every area. But it was just one temple. That's just how big it was, you know. And Malcolm X was the one that people were looking for in regard to Black Power, Black Liberation. Okay, he talked about different concepts of controlling your own landmass. He talked about controlling your politics. He talked about having your own grocery stores. He talked about having your own house. He talked about things that control and give a liberation first in your mind and also through your body, right? And he also was an influence to people like Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, who also came up under the umbrella of Ram through Jerry Marriott Jr. College when he was part of the Soul Survivors of the Ram organization. And Malcolm himself was the internet spokesperson of Ram. He had a relationship with people like Queen Mother Moore, who was one of his mentors, who was also the elder of Ram, and also Bobby Herb Ferguson, who was a member of Ram, Matula Shakir, other individual part of Ram as well. So he had a relationship with the individual that were pushing the aspect of a black liberation, right? So his connection influenced and inspired people like Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, to start the Black Panther of Self-Defense. He inspired other individuals as well, such as Clarence 38, known the Father of Law. Started the Five Percenters, which was an organ, and also the Five Percenters were one of the collectives that helped push, the aspect of Black Panther Party Ram base in Harlem, New York, 1966. Right. So Malcolm influenced all the individuals, as well as Dr. Jeremy Clark, who's influenced him as well, who influenced him as well, that we influenced each other, who actually helped him find the orders of African American Unity. And also early members of the African American Unity, which is Baba Seku and Dinga, who recently transitioned some weeks ago, you know, who was a former New African political prisoner, POW. So Malcolm had very connection to the early Black Liberation Movement, even today to what we had terming up, because organizations like in the New African Unity, such as NAPO, New African People Organization, were actually founded May 19, 1984. Finding the birthday of Malcolm X. And you also had the Malcolm X Festival that had been going on since 1991 in Atlanta, Georgia, that was founded by New African People Organization as well, who also founded the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement that was founded in 1990. So then we also have what you want to term the Malcolm X Festival. We also talked what you termed the Malcolm X Commemoration Committee, which you find in New York was a commemorative committee that were actually founded in which one term the house that Malcolm X and Betty Shabazz were living in. But also during the 60s as well, you had different universities popping up called Malcolm X University, Malcolm X College. You also had a formation in California, L.A., called the Malcolm X Foundation in L.A., you know, so which was part of the Black Liberation Movement at that particular time, right? You know, and you had various people that looked at Malcolm X at the shining prince, at the influence of the Black Liberation Movement. They were part of the various movements, be it Ram, be it Wasting the Dougal, be it the Malcolm X Foundation, be it the Malcolm X University, and so forth. Other things, be it Gold Group of Advanced Leadership, that were also founded by Gaddy Abadeli, Amari Abadeli, you know, during that time. There were also students of Malcolm X while he was in Ram, and also helped him establish certain things with Overs Every Unity and Muslims Incorporated in regards to being researched in the Education Council. As well as individuals like Professor James Smalls, who's a scholar right now, Elder Bailey, who's a scholar, you know, they was involved with Malcolm X organization, you know, that inspired the black liberation movement, the Black Power movement during the 60s, up to the day date, right now. So that's just a little bit about the influence and about the Black Liberation Movement, as well as the African Independent Movement, so to speak, you know.
Okay. All right, thank you. And just for our listeners out there, can you kind of differentiate between the Black Liberation Movement and the New African Independence Movement?
Okay. Well, the Black Liberation Movement was basically a movement consists of different formations that are pushing toward Black liberation, you know, and that basically means having program institutions, but not necessarily talking about having land mass or having a nationality or a government to substantiate your needs, right? Well, New African Independent Movement is an extension of the Black Liberation Movement because they had revolution black nationalism, where the difference is that we identify as a nationality of New Africans. We identify with a culture of New Africans. We also identify having our own New African government. And New African is an identity we chose in regard to 1968 in regards to us being not the, the original African people, but a new type of people that had been developing here since we came to the shores of Georgia, North America in 1526 as well as 1619, right? We developed a new type of people. Well, the term New African itself were actually being utilized in Africa in the 50s and early 60s before New African independence came about as a way to designate that a lot of African countries became independent and gained their independence in the 50s and in the 50s and early 60s. And it was no longer the old Africa, but a new African, a new Africa. You know, that were the term original being pushed at during those times, right? So that basically a differentiation. New African independence identified with land independence and nationality. Well, the Black Liberation Movement identified with liberation on the terms of liberating the people, the masses, you know, by creating institutions, by controlling the environment, by controlling by creating programs to satisfy the people's needs. That's basically a little different between the Black Liberation Movement and New African Independent Movement.
We all know that Malcolm X was an avid learner. He read as much as he could, but there are certain other books, poems, and writings that he did. So with that in mind, can you expound upon who wrote War in America, the Malcolm X Doctrine?
Okay. The Malcolm X Doctrine, the War in America first written in 1966 by Amari Abedele, right? Amari Abedele at that time was aligned with his brother, Gaidi Abedele, in the organization of, they involved, the organization was called, had a brain freeze. It was called GOLD, Group on Advanced Leadership, right? They were named the organization it was a part of. And the Group on Advanced Leadership, they actually had a radio broadcast, and they owned some records, a record store as well. They went into the music, the record, and radio, and everything. They was into that type of media. And also, Guy Eady was the one who broadcast Malcolm X speaking to the African Union in Africa when he was in over 1960. Well, he broadcast it to the people in Detroit, right? But Guy Eady Abedele first wrote it in 1966, and it actually became a text that utilized in 1967 when they created the Malcolm X, Society, right? But he revised it in 1968, August 1968, then he revised it again in 1991. You know, so it was Guy Abedele. I mean, Amari Abedele who wrote that. Dr. Amari Abedele.
All right. Thank you. And so, being that Brother Amari wrote that book, what influence did Brother Amari have as it relates to the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa?
Oh, okay. Well, Amari Abedele, who at that time was Richard Henry, in 1967, right, in Detroit, Michigan, it was three brothers known as the Henry brothers. You had Lawrence Henry, who was the older brother. He was a doctor. You had Milton Henry, who was an attorney. You had Richard Henry, who was a teacher. Richard Henry later became a doctor as well. And all three of them brothers known as the Henry brothers founded what you term the Malcolm X Society. And the Malcolm X Society came over the letter March 15, 1968. They put out the people in the movement who was everybody in the movement that was involved with different aspects as a notice to people from different religion, different ideological background, different political backgrounds in regards to having a government compass. It's going to take place March 30, 31st in Detroit, Michigan, was just building their own government for people, for the black people at that time, right? And this became the founding of the Virginia Republic of Africa, because they founded the Virginia Republic of Africa March 31st, 1968. And Gamal Abdel became one of the architects and one of the founders of Virginia. He won the 200 people that signed the Declaration of Independence book, become one of the co-founders of Virginia Republic of Africa. But he also served officially as the first president, officially, because from the beginning, the vice president, Gamal Abdel, was serving as the president due to the fact that the president exiled was Robert Williams, who didn't come back to 69, but when he came back, he resigned. So he was acting president. So it wasn't until March 1970, it was after the Ujamaa Committee dissolved that existed from January 1st to March 1st, 1970, they're running the government, that Gamal Abdel became the president of the government. And he stayed the president for very decades, you know. He wrote various books, very material, and he served various offices for the Ministry of Information, Ministry of Interior, the president, so forth and so on, you know. So he had been pushing the line for a long time, all the way to his demise.
All right. That'll work. All right. So you touched on a couple of different points, one of which was the Malcolm X Society. And I know you mentioned the Henry Brothers. Were there any other founders of the Malcolm X Society? And can you expound upon all of those founders?
Yeah, the Henry Brothers were the founders, but it were other people that were members, right? But the Henry Brothers were the founders. It were other people that were members, such as a lot of individuals that were part of a structure called the Black Shrine of Madonna, known the Pan-African Orthodox Christian Church, right? A lot of individuals, like Albert Klieg and a whole bunch of who founded of it, a lot of other individuals who actually was a part of that were members of the Malcolm X Society as well, you know? And also part of the individual came from GOLD, Group of Founding Leadership, and other formations. They were also members of the Malcolm X Society also, you know. But the Henry Brothers were the founders, though, those three brothers. And Gaidi and Mar, they got those names, them African names. Malayan Karina, the one gave them those names in particular, you know. He didn't want to give them those names. I think also with the assistance of Sergio Matafumi, if I'm not mistaken, Gaidi got those names, you know, Gaidi and Amar.
Okay. All right, appreciate that.
And Malayan Karinga, as well as Sergio Matafumi, they also were co-founders of Virginia Republic of Africa as well.
All right. And in listening to some of the history of the Henry Brothers with Malcolm X, did Malcolm have any other relationships with any of the other founders of the PGRNA? Or any of their early citizens?
Yes. He had a relationship with Baba Seiko and Dinga, who was one of the early citizens in New York. He had a relationship with Sergio Matafumi, who won the co-founder of the first minister of culture, and also the first minister of education. He had a relationship with Queen Mother Moore, who was the founder of the Republic, and also the mother. He had a relationship with Bobby Hermann Ferguson, as well, who was a founder. He also had a relationship with Dr. Matula, who was a founder. He had a relationship with Amar Abdel and Gaidi Abdel, who were founders. He had a relationship with Dr. John Henry Clark, who also was a citizen at the time. He had a relationship with other individuals other individuals in New York at that time who were considered in different areas, who consider he had a relationship with individuals like Amir Baraki and other individuals that was involved in work going on during that time in New York and Philadelphia and New Jersey on that time. He had a relationship with very individuals, right? So he had a relationship with a lot of individuals that were actually at the founding, including his wife, Dr. Betty Shabazz, who also was the founder of Dream Pool as well. You know what I'm saying? Can't forget her. She was one of the founders. That was his wife, you know. So your relationship with a lot of different individuals that were founders as well as early citizens. There were just some of them, you know what I'm saying, that I know of.
All right. Thank you. So in keeping on with some of the milestones in our dear brother's historic life, on February the 14th, 1965, can you describe what event or what happened to Malcolm X at that time?
Okay. On February the 14th, 1965, which people turned Valentine's Day, you know, but in 2001, a sister named Nawasi Idu and a brother named Marcel Idu created a celebration called Black Love Day. It exists from February the 14th to February 20th, which is an alternative to Valentine's Day. And also, on February the 13th, 1991, Mama Ayo Handy Kende created Black Love Day. And Encoma Day was the extension of Black Love Day. But according to that day in 1965, February 14th, which is Valentine's Day or Encoma Day, Malcolm X's house was bombed and set on fire, right? It was bombed and set on fire. They tried to kill Malcolm X. On that same day, Malcolm X, he left from home, from a bomb home and being attacked. He flew all the way to Detroit to give a speech. And then a week later, he was assassinated in Audubon Auditorium in Philadelphia, New York. So that's what happened. He was bombed. You know, they tried to kill him on that day.
Okay. All right. And as I mentioned earlier, Malcolm X is our shining prince. And to that end, a lot of times in life, based on our deeds, invoke several different identities or names that describe us. And I'm sure Malcolm is no different. So, if you don't mind, could you please let us know some of the names that were bestowed upon him during his life, and what did they signify?
Okay. Well, the name he was born with was Malcolm Little. You know, he was the son of Earl Little and Lewis Little, right? Okay. And Malcolm X started growing and get older. You know what I'm saying? After his dad was assassinated and him all the mental institution and he was in the care of his sister, he started engaging in criminal activity in Detroit. And they started to call him Detroit Red because of his skin. You know, he became a criminal. And then upon going to prison, he got incarcerated, you know, in prison. The brothers in us started calling him Satan because he looked at him being evil, right? And upon finding Nisha Islam in there, because his brother and his sister part of Nisha Islam, the other individual in Nisha Islam, they encouraged him to come by Nisha Islam. That way he became Malcolm X. And during this study of Malcolm X, he kind of realized certain principles about internationalism, pan-African nationalism. So he had went to Africa and Nigeria, and they are doing a name upon him, Omar Wiley. And also while he was in Africa, he did a Hajj to Mecca, which is a pilgrimage that Muslims must do one time in their life to go to the Mecca, which is the seat of the Kaaba, which is the place.
Pretty land, brother. You there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Yeah, your phone went out there for the last bit of what you were saying. The last we heard was the Kaaba, and after that, you went out.
Okay. You know, what I was saying, the Kaaba, you know what I'm saying, it is the Temple of Islam in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, right? Which is a place of pilgrimage for all Muslims all over the world. And every individual that take that trip, knowing the Hajj, they become known as a Haji. So Malcolm X's name became El Hajj Malik El Shabazz to signify he had made that trip to Mecca, which is a spiritual trip, you know what I'm saying, and a holy pilgrimage in Islam. Then he also became, like I said, he became Nigeria. He got named Omar Wale, which is a Yoruba name, meaning he has come home because he came to Africa during that time to pay respects and play homage all through the work of Ram and serve other purposes during that time, right? So he went through various transitions at Malcolm Little, at Detroit Red, as a criminal, as Satan as a criminal, at Malcolm X, the brother who transferred the criminal to a progressive mentality, as Minister Malcolm X, as Brother Omar Wiley, and also as Ilhan Malik El Shabazz, given transition in life. And also those examples to show you that you can transfer yourself at any time by education for a better self, be a better person, and serve a better purpose in life, and find your purpose in life, so to speak, you know, through educational means.
All right. That's definitely something that needs to be kept in mind. And to not think that just because you start out one way, that you always have to stay that way. You can always improve yourself through reading and through education. And with this being said, can you describe what a homemade education looks like and what it is?
Okay. Well, Malcolm was in prison, right? He used a term called homemade education. And to him, homemade education was you studying yourself and studying information, and basically you self-taught, you self-teaching yourself information and interpreting and understanding, right? So he engaged to scholarly study by reading different things and questioning different things, and also questioning other individuals by comprehending things and developing, you know, that home education was being self-educated. With some people in term, autodidactic, you know, which is a self-taught, self-learned person. That's all home education is, you know, and it's also a transformation aspect, because a lot of times, especially during the 60s like that, and fitting brothers and sisters going to prison, that a lot of them can't read or write. So when he went to prison, a lot of them educated themselves by learning how to read and write, and a lot of them, you know what I'm saying, became writers and philosophers and so forth and so on, right, through their own self-education, which Malcolm X turned to homemade education, right? And that same process is what transfer people like George Jackson, James Carr, Sonny Carson, you know, Sonny Shakur, the list goes on and on, that went to prison and educated themselves with their homemade education. And we actually can do the same thing on the street, you know what I'm saying, in regards to, like, us having our Afro-Center homeschooling. That's homemade education, too, as well, on a different level. It's just in a school setting in your home. Learning things that they don't teach you in the public school system or the American academic system, you know. That can be still an aspect of homemade education as well, which is actually Avicenna education.
All right, indeed. All right. So I guess to kind of round out the show for tonight, found upon some of the formations and events in the New African Independence Movement that our brother Malcolm X influenced.
Okay, well, for one, you got the Malcolm X Society, right? The Malcolm X Society, you know, they put out a letter, March 5th, 1968, in regards to the government coming to play March 31st, to find the Vision of Public Africa. And also, within the New African Creed, it's I believe in the Malcolm X Doctrine, right? You know. And then, when we look at that realistically, right, you know, a lot of people have followed the Malcolm X Doctrine on different levels in the African Independent Movement. So, one of the things that one of the movement that got inspired from that was which one of term the Malcolm X Foundation, right? That were created in LA. The Malcolm X Foundation actually became the Information Center in 1970 on the sister Sheree Grant that actually got a government position from Marv Adetta, who became the president in March 1970, right? And the initiative came from the Malcolm X Foundation. And also, May 19, 1984, the New African People Organization, NAPO, was founded on the day of Malcolm X's birthday, you know. And also, they founded in 1990, the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. And then, you know, the following year after that, they founded the Malcolm X Festival. That's something that's been going on in Atlanta, in the West End Park, the term Malcolm X Park, for 30-plus years, right? And then also, the organization called the Malcolm X Commemoration Committee, that Bobby Hamer Ferguson was the president at one time, one of the founders of Improved Africa, and also included around Malcolm X. They find that as a way to commemorate the legacy of Malcolm X, whether Dr. Betty Shabazz, right? And also been various schools and institutions all around the world that are influenced by him as well during his day, you know. And we also look at Malcolm X as the ideological father of New Africa due to the fact he talked about land and independence, and that we must have land to gain our independence. So he's the idea of the father of a New Africa, right? That's how we view him, a New African independent movement. That's how I view Malcolm X, right? You know, and we also all will look at his birthday, which is February 21st. I mean birthday, which is May 19th, and look at Saturday, February 21st, as significant times of New African people, right? And we still have been following New African independent movement. The ADM, after death of Malcolm X, we've been following that as a reminder of our revolutionary calendar, and also a reminder of our goal of independence and our aspect of self-determination. As the Republic of Africa is a revolutionary formation built upon the aspects of self-defense, which have been prevalent known and shown from various events such as Black Nation Day in 1969 and New Bethel, as well as the RNL-11 on August 18, 1971 in Jackson, Mississippi. Those are just some events and situations that, you know, they're related to Malcolm X, you know.
All right. I appreciate that. And our listening audience appreciate that as well. It's always good to understand more about our founding fathers that came before us, so that we can understand where we've been, so that we can help propel ourselves to where we're trying to go. So, again, thank you for that, brother. And at this time, I want to ask you to give your final thoughts, not only about our dear brother Malcolm, but anything else you feel like you want to discuss at this time.
Okay. Well, my first thought is that if you're interested in learning more about the history of Improved Africa, you go on our website, which is www.pg-rna.com. You also find it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the name Republic of Africa, the history of Africa, for more information. You know, and also on March 29th to March 31st, Dr. John Clarktown, known as Columbia, Georgia, at the Embassy, 2503 Dawson Street, Columbia, Georgia, 31903. We'll have New African Nation Day, which is an annual commemoration and celebration of the founding of Improved Africa. It's also an opportunity to meet different New Africans nationwide that are doing different things by creating institutions and programs for New African needs. Also, ones who own land and see different programs. Also, time to network. Also, time to celebrate your New Africanness by being people around your family. And it's also a family-friendly thing, you know, in regards to music, poetry, art, vendors, so forth and so on, right? So that's taking place again March 29th and March 31st, 2024. You can go on Eventbrite. You can also go on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages and see more information about it, you know. And I'd like to say, let Malcolm X spirit coming to your mind in regards to having that self-determination, having the dependability, having the commitment and accountability to be a better version of yourself. And with that, I say Lawlor New African Independent Movement, and I say free the land. And thank you, brother, for having me.
No problem. Thank you. And anytime, you're more than welcome back, brother. And just thank you for giving us a glimpse of the sum of the things that has occurred before us in our lifetime. And we look forward to having you back. And I just want to reiterate that we are having our New African Nation Day coming up this year, next month in March. And if you want to know more about it, please visit us at the website, pg-rna.com. Find out more about the government, as well as if you want to participate and if you want to have your area that you live in be represented within the PGRNA, all that information can be found on the website. Please go there and also register to be considered and counted as a new African citizen on our census. Thank you all for another great episode of the PGRNA radio show. Till next month, thank you, and free the land, free the land, free the land, by any and all means necessary.
What do you mean necessary? What's up?